Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. Last night, my husband and I talked about the elections and how we wanted to vote. It's our civic duty to vote, so we are taking it seriously. However, to be totally truthful, this is a time that stresses me out, especially when the options are not as we like them to be. What does this have to do with getting healthy now? And why am I qualified to talk about it? My name is Denise Thompson. I am a certified transformational health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, best-selling author of a stress reduction book, and a Blog Talk Radio host for over 5 years. My focus has always been and always will be healthy body, healthy mind, healthy finances, and a healthy, long-lasting lifestyle. Pardon me. Over the last few years, you have heard me often refer to a mental exercise called Stop, Challenge, Choose. And I'm going to go more into that during this episode. When I sat at my PC or computer this morning to write the episode for today, I first checked a few messages and lo and behold, received the perfect article written by a reputable source from a dear friend of mine. I took this as a sign to use this article today and share it with you. And it's titled, 8 Questions That Can Help You Survive Election Stress. And just so you know, I did put the link in the transcript so you can actually get the article and verify it, and as I'm honing in on certain aspects. So, Americans are stressed out by their presidential election. These questions will help you check in with yourself and perhaps boost your resilience. And it's written by Jeremy Adam Smith and Jill Sochi on October 14, 2020. So it was just written 8 days ago. How are you doing? For Americans facing COVID-19 lockdown and economic instability through the spring and summer, that became a difficult question to ask and to answer. Things were already pretty bad, and then the presidential election began in earnest. A new survey from the American Psychological Association finds that this election is a significant source of stress for more than 2/3 of American adults, up from half during the 2016 presidential election. According to a new report based on 3 surveys by the nonpartisan organization More in Common, about 7 in 10 Americans are worried about the risk of widespread violence breaking out across the country after election results are announced. A lot of us are feeling scared and helpless, and there's good reason to believe we might look back on the election as a traumatic event. What can we do to stay resilient in the face of this election? One way is to check in with ourselves daily to make sure we're doing the things that sustain our health and well-being while remaining empowered to make a positive impact on the election itself. To come up with reflective questions to ask yourself, we looked back on our articles about surviving stressful times, and we consulted psychologists affiliated with the Greater Good Science Center. We hope these questions will help you make it through the election and beyond. So, question number 1, what's happening in my body and my mind today? Sometimes our feelings sneak up on us, and our body can experience emotions before our conscious mind is aware of them. That's no surprise, the body is a big place with a lot going on inside of it. So you might break your inquiry down into 11 more specific questions as suggested by UC Berkeley's Dacher Keltner and Colorado State's Michael Sager. Is the election disrupting my sleep? Is it interfering with my ability to concentrate? Do I feel breathless or feel any pressure in my chest? Those are some very powerful questions. Is the election bringing back bad memories, for example, of abusive men in your life? Do thoughts of the election intrude or arise when you wish they wouldn't? Do you find yourself thinking of the election even when you would rather be thinking about other things? Answering these questions for yourself, or perhaps with another person like your spouse or a good friend, will help you to understand what you're feeling, particularly if those feelings were happening below conscious awareness. This allows you to name emotions like anger, grief, or anxiety, and naming them in the first step toward feeling more in control of your life. And remember I said the stop challenge choose? Come up right now while we're using that. But first, question number two. If I'm feeling distressed, what can I do to soothe myself? When you have named your negative emotions, it's important to not feel bad about having them. When UC Berkeley researchers studied more than 1,300 adults in a 2017 study, they found that people who commonly resist acknowledging their darkest emotions or judge them harshly can end up feeling more psychologically stressed. In other words, please try to avoid feeling bad about the election. Instead of pushing down any negative feelings, ask what you can do to soothe yourself. Therapist Linda Graham suggests these techniques for calming yourself down when everything feels like too much. Breathing. And that's actually the first step of the Stop Challenge Choose. Because when we breathe, we take a deep, slow breath, a belly breath, to help bring our emotions under control. And she says just about the same. Breathing, deep belly breathing, activates the parasympathetic branch of your autonomic nervous system and slows down your reactivity. Breathing slowly, deeply, can de-escalate a full-blown panic attack in a matter of minutes. Remembering to breathe throughout the day de-stresses you and helps you install calm as your real baseline, not stress as the new normal. Her next suggestion is hand on the heart, which is the same for us as the challenge. Neural cells around the heart activate during stress. Your warm hand on your heart calms those neurons down again, often in less than a minute. Hand on the heart works especially well when you breathe positive thoughts, feelings, images of safety and trust, ease and goodness into your heart at the same time, which is the same as our challenge. Yourself by thinking about why you are feeling and acting the way you are and ask yourself, is this even true? So do you see the parallel? Her third one is meditation. Sylvia Borstein's book, Don't Just Do Something, Sit There, speaks to our instinctive and socialized tendencies to do, to act, fight or flight. Following her instructions on compassionate mindfulness meditation is a gentle way to calm the mind and body and let things simply be over time, generating a steady inner calm that sustains you over the long haul. So you can also do that by choosing the behavior that supports what you really want. she goes on and says, you can also do things like just asking for a hug from someone in your pandemic pod. We are hardwired to be soothed by touch, writes Graham. Warm, safe touch is a stress reducer because it primes the brain to release oxytocin, the hormone of safety and trust, of calm and connect. Oxytocin is the brain's direct and immediate antidote to the stress hormone cortisol. If there is no one you can touch right now, call a friend. They might be struggling too. I mean, it's totally in the parallel. Let me just take a sip of water. Okay. The third question was, am I getting enough good news? We may think that by staying abreast of the latest news developments, we get a clear-eyed picture of the world. But there's a problem. The news is overwhelmingly negative. That's because news sources assume there's more money to be made by featuring alarmist headlines, which keep our eyes on the page due to our brain's negativity bias by hijacking our attention. Repeatedly consuming negative news stories is detrimental to our health, too. It keeps us off alert, which is damaging to our bodies. It can also tear our social fabric, leading to more distrust and negative feelings about other people and communities. We can also miss a lot of good in the world. To keep up with what's happening in the world without being overwhelmed by it, we need to be conscientious about counterbalancing negative news with more positive, hopeful news. That's actually one reason why I do not watch the news. I have noticed quite a while ago, actually since I became a transformational health and wellness coach, watching the news robs me of my sleep because there's all that negativity going through my brain. And it seems like I cannot slow down my synapses from firing with all that negativity. So I made a conscious choice. I'm not watching the news anymore. I mean, if I see something that really intrigues me during the early day, I can handle a couple of paragraphs. But then I need to switch over into something positive. And then I can go to bed doing my ritual, reading my positive affirmations or whatever you do, you know, to calm down. And then I fall asleep and I usually sleep through the night, or usually 7 to 9 hours, which is so amazing. And I feel great the next day. So use that as an example for yourself if it works. Of course, greater good is a good place to start, as we tend to feature the more positive aspects of human nature and how to decrease the negative. But you can also look to places like the Solution Journalism Network, an organization that encourages in-depth journalism, highlighting not just problems, but the people and programs finding solutions or solutions. Question 4, when do I feel good about the election? Here's another way to counter all the negativity. Michael Sager suggests searching for evidence in the news or in the world around you that there are still good people. When do you find yourself tearing up or smiling? Who is working for goals that you think are important? Who seems to be effective and successful? Where are the solutions? Perhaps you heard a speech that inspired you, or maybe you read about a court decision that makes you breathe and sigh of relief. It could be that a candidate's platform gives you hope, but hope could also come in a gracious moment when you see a candidate do or say the right thing. And remember the saying, actions speak louder than words. So I usually look for the actions more so than the words. Because words, yeah, they can be gold, they can be silver, or they can be just the opposite. They can be trash. And so I look for actions. So when you find good news, then let yourself feel good about it. You're searching for moral elevation. That's the warm feeling we get when we witness someone engage in courageous acts. Moral elevation not only boosts our positive emotions, but it also promotes our love for our fellow human and inspires us to be better people, says University of Portland researcher Serena Saturn. Indeed, making an effort to experience more moral elevation will restore our faith in humanity and encourage us to help. And actually, that is so true. I have seen so many people do wonderful things, paying it forward. They had once received somebody who did something positive for them and gave them courage that, as Og Mandino says in his 10 scrolls, this too shall pass. Nothing stays forever. It always changes. And so when we do something good for somebody else, how amazing is that? And does it have to cost money? No. What can we do? Simple things such as when you're outside, if you're young enough and you have your mask on and you're protected to go to the store and stuff, you can smile at somebody. Well, they might not see the smile through the mask, but they see it in your eyes, because you cannot smile without your eyes lighting up. And what does that do for them? It makes them feel good and appreciated. You can call somebody you care about on the phone and tell them you were thinking about them. And maybe have a few nice words and maybe have a good laugh and make them feel good. There's so many little things. If you don't want to call, you can write them a quick note, a postcard or a letter or something. Or, you know, use Facebook or any of the other social medias to send a positive message to the people you care about, just to help them out. So, Serena goes on. Moral elevation is also contagious. In one 2011 study, for example, participants read or read articles and watched videos depicting acts of common and uncommon kindness. And the results show that hearing about these good deeds made the participants more likely to give away their money. Moral elevation has been shown to promote altruism, Saturn says. So make an effort to shine some light on some of the wonderful things the human condition is capable of doing. 5, what am I grateful for today? And in this article, they show a book that they created. It's called The Gratitude Project: How the Science of Thankfulness Can Rewire Your Brains for Resilience, Optimism, and Greater Good. It's edited by Jeremy Adam Smith, Kyra M. Newman, Jason Marsh, and Dacher Keltner. And it says, discover our new book about how gratitude can lead to a better life and a better world. And that's another true thing that I experienced. I started a few months ago to wake up with gratitude. And I say the things I'm grateful for, and it changes my attitude immediately into one of being grateful that I'm alive, that I can get up, that I'm healthy, that I'm happy, that I have a home, that I have health, that I have a husband, that I have food on the table, that I have clothes on my back, and so forth. There's a lot of things, but it can be even other things. So just kind of write 5 to 10 things down every day when you wake up, or at night before you go to bed, or both times, because the more we do it and the more grateful we are, the more it carries over into our personal life. So, under this ad for the book, it says, "This may seem like the wrong question for the times. With so much negative stuff going on, why focus on what we're grateful for?" Well, for me, that's obvious. But as gratitude researcher Robert Emmons writes, in the fact of demoralization, gratitude has the power to energize. In the face of brokenness, gratitude has the power to heal. In the face of despair, gratitude has the power to bring hope. Isn't that powerful? Focusing on what we're thankful for helps us be more resilient when times are tough. If we turn toward appreciating the good in our lives, it lessens our anxiety and depression, so we can stay calmer in the face of uncertainty, and it can keep us from burning out. Gratitude is also a premier social emotion that binds us to other people, strengthening our relationships. Cultivating it in ourselves inspires us to help others in need, even when giving help is costly to us, something we could use in these difficult times when we need to come together. Your blessings and enjoy better health and happiness. How powerful is that? So, what can you be grateful for? Besides the everyday things like family, health, the food on our table, her beautiful sunset, we can be grateful for living in a democracy where we get to vote. You might be thankful for the many activists who secure suffrage for women and African Americans. In the present, you might find gratitude for the groups now marching in the streets, calling attention to social and environmental wrong and demanding change. And again, it's just what they came up with, and you can interpret it the way it fits you best. So I don't want to offend anybody with anything I'm saying, but I want to shed light on this subject. 6, how can I connect with other people? Yes, this election is stressful, and stress can trigger the fight or flight reaction. It's natural to feel angry or defensive or to simply want to run away, but there's more to stress than this simple dichotomy. Researchers Laura Cusino Klein and Shelley Taylor have identified another kind of response to stressful events: tend and befriend, when people can come more trusting, generous, and willing to risk their own well-being to protect others. And I have to say, I have received more friend requests lately than ever before. And it is amazing. Most of them are sincere, are real people. And I know that because I check them out before I accept any friend requests, because I've received too many just spammers. And I don't go there because I want to be living in integrity and in gratitude and not in complaining. So I check them all out. And when they have a lot of friends, and we have a lot of friends in common, and I see what they're doing, and I see a whole lot of positive posts, and I know that these posts match the character of the person, I feel so good about it. So let's do whatever we can to reach out to people, friend them, and be nice to one another. Why would stress lead to caring? As Kelly McGonigal writes in Greater Good, from an evolutionary point of view, we have to tend and befriend response in our repertoire first and foremost, to make sure we protect our offspring. Think of a mama grizzly protecting her cubs and a father pulling his son from a wreckage of a burning car. The most important thing they need is the willingness to act even when their own lives are at risk. To make sure we have the courage to protect our loved ones, The tend and befriend response must counter our basic survival instinct to avoid harm. We need fearlessness in those moments, along with confidence that our actions can make a difference. If we think there's nothing we can do, we might give up. And if we are frozen in fear, our loved ones will perish. At its core, the tend and befriend response is a biological state engineered to reduce fear and increase hope. In facing this year's election and the barriers imposed by COVID-19, don't let your stress cut you off from others. Alison Briscoe Smith, the clinician at the Wright Institute, suggests aiming to move from self-care to community care. In other words, yes, take care of yourself first, but when you feel strong enough, reach out to those in need and ask, is one small, tangible thing you can do to help someone feel better today? 7. In light of this election, what are some new ways I can use my special skills or talents to make a difference in a broader world? Well, before I go into what the article says, I have realized that I really enjoy reading out loud, and I know that many parents have been burned out and are frustrated of having to homeschool their children. They never signed up for that task. Yet, most children are being homeschooled right now, be it with the school curriculum via Zoom or anything else, but the parents are there to supervise and then still do their job. So I thought by taking an hour out of my time, I would read aloud a children's story every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, just to give the parents a break, either from help children or for them to spending an hour with their children listening to a story so they can just relax during that time. And it did not only just help the people who are listening and viewing my recordings, but it also helps me to do something good for someone else. And I love that feeling. So if you can come up with something, like you might want to go and wash somebody's car, or you might want to go and get groceries for somebody or help them carry them upstairs or something, just make sure you follow the rules of safety and do. Brainstorm a little bit of what you can do at your age, at your health, where you're at with the people who are around you, to keep everybody safe, but to make a difference. Now back to the article. That, in light of this election, what are some new ways I can use my special skills or talents to make a difference in the broader world? When UC Claremont's Kendall Bronk and her colleagues studied youth during the 2016 election, they found that the election actually inspired purpose. People saw problems broader world, and they were inspired to take action, she says. This might help explain the surge in political activism we've seen during the past 4 years, from the student-led movement for greater gun safety to many others. Jim Emmerman of Encore.org, an organization that helps seniors find new purpose in life, suggests asking 3 questions to help you find your own sense of purpose. What are you good at? What have you done that gave you a skill that can be used for a cause? What do you care about in your community? Purpose, the drive to make a difference in the world, is intimately related to meaning, a sense that what's happening to you and around you matters in some way. While the ultimate outcome of the election will change its meaning, we won't stop trying to make sense of what happened. When Michael Sager studied college students' experiences from the 2016 election and the 2018 midterm elections, he found that their sense of meaning did decline if their candidate lost, but then seemed to rebound within a week. There's meaning in a loss and purpose too, if you can find a way to put your talents to work in making a difference beyond just one election. And the last question, number 8, what future would I like to see and what steps am I taking today to make that future happen? GGSC Senior Fellow Christine Carter suggests thinking about how you're going to take care of your own well-being over the long run. What healthy habit are you nurturing now that will be with you after the election? What do you have in your life right now because of this tumultuous time and you hope to still have in your life later? Those might seem like hard questions to ask yourself, and it might seem even harder right now to think of our collective well-being in the future. When we look to the future, a process scientists call prospection, the present moment actually becomes more meaningful. Though it might be hard right now to think beyond November 3rd, it's worth trying. Numerous studies show that envisioning a positive future makes it more likely to come to pass and prosper, and prospection can make us more resilient in the present. But how? In Greater Good's Purpose Challenge, designed by Bronk and her team, high school seniors were asked to think about the world around them and visualize what they would change if they had a magic wand. Afterward, the researchers asked the students to map out steps that could take towards that ideal. Make giving feel good. How to encourage kindness in ways that also boost happiness. What would you change if you had a magic wand? Perhaps you wish people just be kinder to each other. Or maybe you think wealthy people should have less power in government and poor people should have more. If economic and social disparities between white people and everyone else enrage you, then a future of racial equality is what you want most. If you've spent the past 4 years remembering the current president's misogynistic comments about women, you might feel driven to spend the next 4 years working for gender equality. A positive future depends on many different people working for many different goals for the betterment of humankind. We don't have a magic wand. We don't know what will happen on November 3rd, but we do know that there will be a November 4th, and we know that we are all going to have to get out of bed and do what we can to make the world a better place, no matter who is in the White House. We might feel powerless, but we're not. We can vote. We can donate money and march. And we can help the people whose lives we touch. And maybe 4 years from now, when we ask a neighbor or coworker or a friend how they're doing, they'll be able to say, great. So do you see, I relate all this to healthy mind, healthy body, healthy finances, healthy long-lasting lifestyle, to the Stop Challenge Choose with taking a deep breath and realign our thoughts and then use and choose the ones where the behavior supports what we really want. And why complain about something when we don't take action? So, having said this, I truly want to encourage you. Do your civic duty. I don't care what your affiliation is, what your party is. That does not matter to me. What matters to me is make your voice be heard. You know for yourself is in your best behalf with your best behavior and your best and most positive thoughts. And that's the whole purpose behind this. I thought this article was 100% to the point, and I will let my friend know and thank her so much for it, because that's what's so interesting. I usually prepare in the morning because I sleep over it and I let some thoughts mull over. And actually, I even pray about what I should talk about. And I go, I really want to reflect on the conversation that my husband and I had last night. He was very positive. I mean, we're lucky that we're both in the same, supporting the same party, but different ways of looking at things. He is a type A personality. He is an engineer. He is a linear thinker, and there's absolutely nothing wrong. I'm a type O. I'm a person who's more emotional, not just because I'm a woman, but because I think with the way I feel sometimes, not always, but sometimes I catch myself. And I go, well, feelings don't put bread on the table. Feelings don't get me where I want to go. I need to get into action. And that's when I use my stop, challenge, choose. So I get out of the feeling thing that doesn't serve me. Yeah, I get to feel for 2 to 5 minutes, but then it's time to move on and do an action that moves me forward in what I want to do. And so having said all that, I really hope that I was able to give you some value, that the article helped you. And as I said at the very beginning, the link is hyperlinked in the transcript. So when you listen to it, you can see the transcript. There's not that much in there because it's limited to 2,000 characters, but the link is in there. And so if you want to hone in a little bit deeper of what I said, you can reread it on your own by pulling it up on the internet. Anyway, I wish all of you a happy, healthy, blessed day, a wonderful day, and I encourage you from the bottom of my heart, please do your civic duties. And if you have to stop in between when you go through the questions and do the stop, challenge, choose, do the breathing, deep belly breathing, because that's the healthy cleansing breath. Remember the babies when they're born and you watch them sleep? They always breathe with their tummy. That's the normal, healthy breathing. That's how they breathe life into themselves to thrive. And as adults, we have changed that for some odd reason. So it's time to go back and do the healthy breathing and then put your hand over your heart to challenge yourself and adjust your thinking, and then choose what serves you best and which behavior is really good for you. So with this, I'm going to close for today. I'll talk to you next week again, and have a most wonderful week.